Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Milton Friedman, The Last Conservative, is a biography of the economist Milton Friedman by historian Jennifer Burns. Rather than presenting him only as a famous free market advocate, the book places him within the broader intellectual and political history of the 20th century. Burns draws on archival research to trace Friedman's development from his upbringing in New Jersey and education at Rutgers and the University of Chicago to his rise as one of the century's most influential public intellectuals. The book is both a scholarly biography and an account of how economic ideas move into politics, media, and policymaking. It focuses on Friedman's method of positive economics, his major theories in monetary economics, and his role in shaping modern conservatism. At the same time, it examines his relationships with colleagues, policymakers, and collaborators, showing how personal networks help turn academic arguments into public influence. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how Friedman's positive economics shaped his entire intellectual method. One of the book's most important themes is Friedman's commitment to positive economics. The idea that economic theories should be judged by whether they explain observed reality rather than by whether they match ideological preferences. Burns uses this methodological position as a key to understanding nearly all of Friedman's later work. It helps explain why he was willing to challenge dominant Keynesian thinking, why he treated evidence as the final test of theory, and why he remained focused on practical consequences rather than abstract doctrinal purity. This is not presented as a narrow technical point. Instead, Burns shows that the method gave Friedman a way to move between academic economics and public argument. His economic views were not only positions on policy, but also a disciplined way of asking what actually works. That approach underlies his reputation as both an innovator and a critic of policy overreach. Secondly, monetary stability and the critique of government management of the economy. Burns devotes substantial attention to Friedman's work on money, inflation, and macroeconomic stability, which is central to his historical significance. The book explains how Friedman challenged the assumption that governments could reliably fine-tune the economy through discretionary stimulus. Instead, he argued that the money supply mattered profoundly and that instability in monetary policy could create serious economic distortions. This theme is important because it links Friedman's academic work to a broader shift in public policy. Burns shows that his arguments helped change how economists and policymakers thought about inflation, recessions, and the limits of planning. His emphasis on monetary rules rather than improvisation made him a major critic of activist economic management. The book also places this in historical context, showing how Friedman's ideas gained influence during periods of inflation and policy failure, when his framework appeared more persuasive to both experts and the public. Thirdly, the making of a public intellectual through media, debate, and policymaking. The biography does more than describe Friedman as a scholar. It shows how he became a public intellectual with extraordinary reach. Burns traces his ability to communicate complex economic ideas to broad audiences through books, articles, interviews, television, and speeches. This public presence mattered because Friedman's influence was not limited to universities. He became part of national debates over inflation, government regulation, the draft, and economic freedom. Burns also highlights his direct connections to policymakers, showing that his arguments were not merely theoretical, but entered the highest levels of government. His interventions on issues such as floating exchange rates and the military draft demonstrate the practical ambitions of his intellectual project. The book suggests that Friedman's influence came partly from his willingness to engage outside the academy, and partly from his talent for translating economic reasoning into clear, forceful public language. That combination made him unusually effective in shaping modern policy discussion. Fourthly, relationships with Arthur Burns, Anna Schwartz, Rose Friedman, and other collaborators. A distinctive strength of the book is its attention to relationships, especially the people who helped shape Friedman's career and influence. Burns presents his collaboration with economist Anna Schwartz as one of the most important scholarly partnerships in modern economics, particularly for work on monetary history. She also examines his long and complicated relationship with Arthur Burns, who was at once mentor, colleague, and later intellectual opponent. These relationships matter because they reveal how economic ideas develop through disagreement, friendship, and institutional ties rather than in isolation. The book also gives attention to Rose Friedman, whose role in his intellectual and professional life is often underappreciated. By including these personal and professional networks, Burns resists the temptation to treat Friedman as a solitary genius detached from context. Instead, she shows how his career depended on collaboration, debate, and the support structure around him. This makes the biography richer than a simple story of theoretical achievement. Lastly, why the subtitle The Last Conservative is both revealing and contested. Burns's subtitle invites debate, and the book uses Friedman's career to examine the relationship between classical liberalism and modern conservatism. Her argument is not that Friedman fit neatly into every conventional conservative category. Rather, she suggests that he helped define a conservative economic vision centered on free markets, limited government, and skepticism toward state planning. The title is revealing because it captures his role in the broader political realignment that gave market-oriented ideas greater prominence in the late 20th century. At the same time, the subtitle is contested by readers who see Friedman as more libertarian than conservative, especially given his positions on issues such as the draft and civil liberties. Burns does not ignore that tension. Instead, it becomes part of the book's analytical value. The result is a portrait of a thinker whose influence crossed ideological labels and helped reshape the language of economic and political debate in the United States. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers interested in economic history, the history of conservatism, and the movement of ideas from academia into public life. Economists will find a clear account of Friedman's methodological and monetary contributions, while students of politics will gain insight into how his arguments helped reconfigure American conservatism and policy debate. General readers with an interest in modern intellectual history will also benefit from Burns's ability to connect theory, biography, and historical context without reducing Friedman to either a hero or a caricature. What makes the book stand out is its archival depth and its balanced treatment of a figure who is often discussed only through slogans. Burns does not simply celebrate Friedman's influence or condemn it. She shows how his ideas worked, how they spread, and how personal relationships and historical circumstances shaped their impact. Compared with shorter introductions or ideologically tilted accounts, this biography offers a fuller and more credible portrait of why Friedman mattered and why he remains contested today. If you would like to support Jennifer Burns, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.